We all face challenges in life. If you haven't faced a major challenge yet, you will, believe me. It's not a question of if, but when. When will we face a challenge? And how will we face the challenge when it's there? Paul, as he's writing this letter, we've reviewed this many times, but let's just get in our mind that he's sitting in prison, probably in Rome, or it could have been someplace else, but probably in Rome, indicated by one of the last verses. He says, those who belong to Caesar's household. So that's a clue that he's probably in Rome, and some of his guards and some of those who have become believers are part of Caesar or the emperor's household. That's a significant statement. But throughout his ministry, for many years, he's had many, many struggles. He's been shipwrecked. He's been beaten. He's been imprisoned. He almost died a couple of times. He's been sick. Many times he didn't know where he was going to get food. And he had to just rely on the help of others. For example, when he's here in prison. The key thought is found in verse 11. For I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. These are challenging words for us, I believe. It is rare to find someone who is truly content. Well, what is contentment? Let's think about that for a minute. Wikipedia, the know-it-all website, says contentment is a mental and emotional state of satisfaction. It may be drawn from being at ease in one's situation, body and mind. Colloquially speaking, contentment should be a state of having accepted one's situation and is a mild and tentative form of happiness. There are two ways to look at contentment. One is just looking at the Greek word that Paul uses here. It comes from the Stoic and Cynic traditions in Greek philosophy. And the word basically means sufficient in yourself. You are sufficient with what you have in yourself. Well, this is a very worldly perspective. How many of us can truly be sufficient in ourselves? Very few, if no one can, actually. That's what the world religions are trying to do, is to find contentment in themselves. The second way is to find contentment in God and what God gives us. Paul shows that contentment does not come from our own resources, what we can earn or collect or find, but contentment is only found in God. Our problem is that we cannot find contentment in our own thinking and our own resources. The world blinds us to happiness. The world gives us these false promises. If you have this, or if you buy this, if you drive this kind of car, if you have this kind of house or these kind of clothes, all these things, then you'll be content and happy. Those are a false illusion. It's all smoke. We pursue more stuff because we are not satisfied with what we have. What does all this stuff do in our life? Well, it leads to worry, fear, and even sadness. In 1975, six armed gunmen broke into safe deposit boxes in a London bank and stole more than $7 million worth of valuables. There was one lady who had one of those safe deposit boxes. It was appraised at $500,000, a piece of jewelry. And she said, oh, everything is gone. My whole life is ruined just because that little piece of jewelry was taken. Where do we find our contentment? Where we put our happiness will show what is important to us. There was a Polish rabbi who had a visitor one day, and the visitor went to this rabbi's house, and there was a simple room filled with just a few books, plus a table, a bench. And so the tourist asked, Rabbi, where's your furniture? Well, where's yours? The rabbi asked. Mine? Asked the puzzled visitor. But I'm only a visitor here. I'm only passing through. Well, so am I, said the rabbi. We're just passing through this world, through this life. Why do we build up treasures for ourselves in this world? In verses 10 through 12, Paul talks about that contentment is learned. Let's read that passage again. I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. But not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am in to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned, again, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Paul rejoiced that the Philippians had found a way to help care for him and for his needs. They had sent Epaphroditus, we get that big long name, Epaphroditus, to him with some financial support so that Paul could be able to live there and survive in prison. They had gone out of their way to help Paul. Life in prison was not easy for him. Ancient prisons were very difficult places. Paul suffered a lot in his imprisonments. He had also, in different parts of his ministry, he had to work hard. He was a bivocational pastor. What Paul did is he was a tent maker, a leather worker, working with animal skins to make big tent tarps. His hands were strong and calloused. He had to work hard in the marketplace. He was a businessman. Really, Paul was a businessman. That's how he supported himself to pay for his needs. The easiest thing for us when we go through a difficult situation is to complain. To complain. How can we say God is good when bad things happen to us? We say, well, God is good some of the time. When I'm up on the mountain and things are going well. But how about down in the valley? Can we still say God is good? We have to change our focus. We have to find a new source of strength. Contentment is not natural for us. Rather, we are more naturally about worry and complaining. Contentment, finding contentment in every situation. How do we do that? How can we be flexible enough to see God at work, to find contentment even when we're going through those dark valleys? People will disappoint us. If we put our trust in people, we're going to be disappointed. If we put our trust and our hope in things, they're going to break. We're going to wreck that new car. Our house is going to have a problem. You know, we could lose our job. If we try to find contentment in those things, we will be disappointed. Psalm 23, verse 4, reminds us that the Lord is our shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, Paul is especially talking in this passage about some of the physical or the financial needs that the Philippians helped him with. 1 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy in chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. Some words that are very appropriate here. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. If we have food and clothing, we will be content enough. I'm always amazed after living in the Philippines and, you know, going to the grocery store and they have this little shelf of the kind of food I want. And then coming here to Guam and I go down the aisle in Payless and they have a whole aisle of things that I like, or a whole grocery store. I was shocked a couple years ago. We had been in the Philippines for a while and doing mission work. And I went back to Idaho to a store called Albertsons. You know, you guys know Albertsons, right? And I was just totally overwhelmed by how many options there were for like one thing. There are like 10 different brands of the same thing. Or a whole cereal aisle. The last week I've been surviving on milk and cereal. on purpose. I really enjoyed it. It was like, oh, good cereal. But they only had one type I liked. Everything else was just like this much. And I found one box. And you come to a store, it's like, we have so much available to us. Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 12 about a man who built barns, but he was never content with what he had. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, Jesus told this story. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy now. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God.'" It's easy for us to be envious about those who might have a bigger house or a bigger car, a newer car, those who seem to have better jobs. It's easy for us to get jealous of that. And then it breeds within us incontentment. What's the opposite of contentment? Incontentment. Uncontentment. I forget the English word. But anyway, we become uncontented when we see what other people have around us. G.K. Chesterton said this: "There are two ways to get enough. One is to accumulate more and more. The other is to desire less and less." I like that. To desire less and less. Well, how can we do this? Well, second, Paul recognized that it was God's strength that was at work in his life. Contentment comes from God's strength. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Who is the to Him? Well, actually, if you study the context, it's through the strength of Christ, His presence within us and what He has done for us. One of the greatest principles of the Bible is given right in this verse. I can do all things. So in many times it's taken just as a timeless principle, and that's true. But if we read it within the context, it is a powerful testimony of how God was providing for Paul's needs while he was in ministry and in prison. To live is Christ. That is where we find our life is in Christ. Who is Christ? Christ is God with us, Emmanuel. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is reflecting in a different letter about his different struggles. He gives a big long list in chapter 11 about all the hard things he's gone through in his life. Shipwreck, sickness, it's a very long list. He comes to chapter 12 and he says this in verses 9 and 10. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" So Paul is weak, and Christ's power is resting on him. "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight, I'm happy in my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong, because God's grace in Christ is at work within my life." Israel went through many difficult times in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6 gives us these words: "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them." That is the problems and the enemies. "For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." I believe that's true for us too. He will not leave us or forsake us. And then Zephaniah 3:17. "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing." The Lord is over us and he's singing about us. Isn't that great? He's celebrating us. He's with us. What is the secret for contentment and victory in our life? It's found in Christ. The Lord will strengthen my weak faith. Lord, help me at this time. If God sees the sparrow fall, paints the lilies short and tall, gives the skies their azure hue, will he not then care for you? I don't always have the answers for my problems, for what I need, or for my loved ones around me. I don't have the cure for diseases. I don't have all the money to bail people out when they're in need. But I know who can help us with that. Number three, contentment is strengthened by community. Let's look at verses 14 through 18 again. Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs. And once again, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. The Philippians had come to Paul's aid and need. Paul recalls how the Philippians were the only ones to support him in the early days of the gospel. And so when Paul first started his ministry in Macedonia, the Philippian church gave to his ministry needs. And no one else did. And Paul's reminding them of that. Prison was difficult. Ministry was difficult. But this church came in and helped him. We may be a source of strength for someone else in the church. If we see someone who is suffering, someone who is lacking, someone who needs help, God may lead us to be someone to step in and to be a source of help. As the body of Christ, we care for one another. If we see a member in the body suffering, in pain, in need, the rest of us should come to the aid of that body part. If I have an injured finger, I'm just not going to let it bleed to death. I'm going to use the rest of my body to care for that need. And that's the way we function as the body of Christ. We must not fail one another. God has given us a tremendous opportunity and privilege to be in the lives of one another. Have you ever failed to do something for someone and you knew God had called you to do that? I think we probably all have. I know I have. I just knew God was leading me to do that, but for some reason, I was reluctant to step out in faith and follow God's leading. What does it do? It leaves us regretting and sad because we did not follow through and help. When others fail us, we should be glad that God never fails us. And when we do not receive what the ministry from others, don't complain. Trust in God. He is there for us. The Philippian church had blessed Paul, and now he returns the favor by blessing them with prayer and encouragement. As we sacrificially give to the needs of the ministry of others in the church and those in our community, God will bless us with his blessings, whatever they might be, spiritual blessings. This is not a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. We hear that preached sometimes. That is not what Paul's talking about here. We don't give so that we can be blessed and receive more. That's not how the gospel operates. God leads us, and we may be the one to meet the need of someone else. But we may still be going through our own difficult time. We may still suffer. We may still have challenges. Everything Christians do for the kingdom of God is an investment that has rich dividends. And then finally, point number four. Contentment is supremely found in Jesus Christ. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This verse can be misunderstood and it can be twisted a little bit to support selfishness. Okay, God will supply all I want? No. God will supply what we need. God sometimes, though, allows us to struggle so that we grow stronger. He will give us the strength to face whatever situation we have to go through. It doesn't mean that God's just going to make it all great and wonderful for our life. We'll be healthy and prosperous and rich. No. Sometimes God wants us to go through the difficult times so that we grow stronger. It's a mystery. I don't have the answers. Sometimes it truly is hard to say God is good all the time. To be honest, it's hard to do that. But we trust in God that He will give us the strength through what we face. In fact, Paul may never have gotten out of this prison. He may have died soon after writing this letter. If all our problems disappeared, we would never grow strong and our faith would remain weak. God's greatest gift to us may not be getting us out of the trial, but it may be having us go through the trial. That's a hard saying. That's hard to accept. Hudson Taylor, famous missionary, said, "Many Christians estimate difficulties in light of their own resources, and thus attempt little and often fail in the little they attempt. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His power and presence with them." Where do we find our help? Psalm 121. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" You can see the psalmist. He's at the foot of the mountains. He's crying out, "Where is my help?" Have you ever felt like that? You're just crying, "Where is my help? Who is there to help me through?" And then he realizes, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber." He's not going to fall asleep while we're struggling. "Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is at your is the shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." Why do few people find contentment? I think because they look in the wrong place. We now have the riches of God in Christ Jesus. To live is Christ. This is life. This is contentment. God's riches here are said to be in glory. The awesome glory that said, "Let the world come into existence." That glory, that power is in Christ Jesus and available to us. I'd like to end my message today with an old hymn. I don't know if you know this hymn. You can sure sing along if you recognize the words. I don't know if it's in our hymn book, but I'm just going to sing it. These words came to my mind as I was studying this passage. I'll try to sing. "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added afflictions He addeth His mercy. To multiply trials His multiplied peace. His love has no limits, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limits, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again.